So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to Love After Lockup. Haha, okay. I'm Miss H, and today Mr. O and I will be talking about Season 1, Episode 9 of Life After Lockup, where Andrea feels shame, Tony takes credit for a romantic gesture and we're all suspicious, Michael and Sarah make up and possibly make out, Shane and Dad John build a death trap, a trampoline, Marcelino is told he sucks, and Josh enjoys single life while Cheryl is ready for another convict. All that and more, students of the week, class dunces, and life lessons. If you like what you hear, please give us a rating so other people can find us. And if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, check out our other podcast, 90 Day MK, Teachable Moments with Miss H and Mr. O. Thanks and enjoy.
Hello, Miss H.
Hello, Mr. O. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Today was the beginning of our lacrosse season because I do the most Maryland thing imaginable. And in addition to teaching, I also coach lacrosse.
Is that a Maryland thing?
Big time. Big time.
Oh, I had no idea. I'm learning something new all the time with you.
Well, we can also talk about what we learned new from the people of this show.
Right. So I feel like we're always learning a lot from these people.
So much. So many things I didn't know about how parole works and how you memorize brands of condoms that you picked out. Things like that.
Oh my goodness. So is that where you want to start?
Let's start with them. Yeah, let's start there. That's with Andrea and Lamar.
Andrea and Lamar. So they kind of pick up where they left off last time, which is Andrea assaulting Lamar.
Ain't nobody assaulted you.
Yep, but, by the textbook definition.
Oh, it was definitely, could have been categorized as an assault. She just didn't think, it doesn't count when a woman hits a man. That's not assault. That can't count.
Wait, were we talking about this on this podcast? I can't remember. The difference between battery and assault?
No, but I think, tell me what you think your understanding of the difference between assault and battery is.
Okay, so I can't remember where I come up with this, but assault is the threat of harm, whereas battery is the actual act of harming.
Yes.
So if that's the case, then Andrea didn't technically assault Lamar because she came flying out of freaking nowhere. It was mostly she just battered him.
Yeah, but so
the battery part happened.
It's hard to do battery without assault because, like, the part where you're flying at me with your fists up, that's the threat right there. And then the actual hitting me is the battery.
Okay, so Andrea, guilty of assault and battery. Mm-hmm. So so frustrating. So she wouldn't just show him what was in the pockets.
Right.
And said he has to go and search for them himself. Andrea's talking about it. They're in their little interview and she's saying that it's just embarrassing and shameful. And so we kind of talked about what other possible explanation is there. And we came up with a couple. I was saying that, he's in California. The use of his jacket is probably not all the time. So it could be like a communal jacket where everyone just passes it around depending on, situation. Like you're going out to the snow here, you borrow the jacket for a little while.
Right.
So sounds like that was the explanation because Lamar, it took him like all of half a minute to think, oh, wait a second, my brother borrows this jacket. It's possible that he just left it in there. Of course, Andrea has stormed off at this point.
Just out of the way. And so then he goes ahead and he's like, well, let me ask my brother. So he calls Squee Bastard, which...
Oh my gosh. I could not even believe when that was on there. I was like, oh my goodness. All right.
I mean, that's a rap name,
can
right?
Can we just call is that you Squee for short?
I think it is Squee. And that makes me think of, when all that Brett Kavanaugh stuff was going on, didn't he have a friend named Squee that was like, why do all these guys have people named Squee? What is that name? I've never heard it before.
That is super concerning that a chief justice has a friend named Squee. Yeah. That right there should tell you something about the kind of company he keeps. Oh my goodness. So I don't know what Brett Kavanaugh's friend's last name is, but I doubt it's Bastard.
The more I thought of it, the more I was like, I think it's his rap name. Like, because,
that can't be his real name. Bastard is not his real name.
Well,
no matter how much your mom calls you that.
Right. But it could just be like a random nickname you picked up and not like, I think it's just a stage name.
Sure. So first of all, Lamar is like convinced that it has to be his brother because he says, I don't even use condoms. I was like, oh goodness. More of this bareback situation again.
Yeah. Okay, so this is not like, did you ever notice whenever these shows come up, like everybody has magnums? Like, come on, man. Like right. the statistically speaking, that doesn't that doesn't work. It's like people have inflation here. They have a, you know.
Right.
Because he knew, they asked Squee, what was it? He was like, oh, it was a Magnum gold pack immediately.
Right. So, yeah, Lamar is pretty much like trying to quiz him on what exactly it was.
Uh-huh.
To prove that they were Squee's condoms and not his. But Andrea completely misses it because she had stormed off in the other room. If she had hung around, been a little bit reasonable, at least waited for Squee Bastard to give his answer, she would have seen that there was a possibility that they were his.
Right.
Because, I mean, he got it right.
He got
the answer right.
It seemed pretty live. It didn't seem like he was coached because, I mean, if he was coached, then that would have meant Lamar set up the situation to get in trouble and then be able to get out of it. And that didn't make any sense at all. Like, it didn't make any sense for it to be like a pre-coach. All right, I'm going to call you and you have to say that there was a Magnum gold pack in my pocket. So we're going to practice that, right? Just in case when I call you and ask, this is what was in my pocket. Seems like it would have been easier to just take it out of his pocket if he was, you know,
right.
If they were Lamar's.
So what I kind of find funny, and I actually believe Lamar after he says this, he's like, I was in prison this entire time and have never been caught with anything. You think I'd be stupid to get caught with condoms? I'm smoother than that. I was like, oh, goodness. Yes, I believe you, Lamar. That's true. That's a rookie mistake. Yeah.
Right. There's no way, because he had to not have even worn the jacket yet, because I feel like if he had worn the jacket and put the hands in his pockets, he totally would have just been like, whoop, boop, and he would have spirited them away.
Right. So, yeah, I definitely feel like Lamar is a pro at being sneaky. So I'm inclined to believe him. So then Andrea decides to use this incident to go off on why she would be suspicious of him in the first place. So she claims that he has a lot of bitches on his Instagram.
Oh, man. I don't even know. What, I don't understand this. This is something that comes up on this show. It comes up on 90 Day Fiancé. Just trolling somebody's social. Do they understand that you don't get to choose who follows you on Instagram? Like, that's not a thing you can do?
Well, I think you can, but I think it really depends on what you're trying to do with your Instagram, you know?
True.
Like, I feel like these people, I don't want to even call them cast members, but, you know, the people that are on this show, a lot of them are seeing themselves as public figures, whether or not we would all consider them public figures or not.
Uh-huh.
So to them, they're leaving their stuff open so people can follow, and it really becomes this kind of competition of who has the most followers. But the thing is that, like, this, if you were not a public figure, this would not be the game. You know, the game would be you'd probably be looking at the people who are choosing to follow you, and maybe you choose not to have them follow you or have them, you know, or block them.
Block them.
I don't know. I think that's what these women are kind of the ones that, well, I shouldn't even say women, the partners that get jealous.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what the expectation is. Like, you know, you shouldn't be following or being followed by these good looking temptations. So you should just block them. So there's nothing there. There's no temptation.
You can't. Yeah, that doesn't work. Cause he has a, like, you know, theoretical, he aspires to have a music career. Right. And you can't just go blocking all of the attractive women that follow you. That's a terrible way to, like, increase your clout in the music industry. Right. Just be like, no, I have a private Instagram account that I never talk to anybody on. And, like, that's not how you do that.
Yeah. How else are you going to recruit for your music video vixens?
Right. Exactly.
You got to pull them somewhere.
Yeah.
Those Instagram influencers.
Perfect idea. But the important thing is what Andrea doesn't want. Andrea does not want, you know, she doesn't want somebody cheating on her, and she doesn't want to have a prostitute as a sister wife.
Oh, goodness.
That kind of came out of nowhere.
I feel like she was just being overly dramatic.
Overly dramatic, yeah.
Overly dramatic. Well, I mean, yeah, plus that's just a stupid thing to say. But, I mean, she even admits that maybe she got hot over nothing. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get it. And I say, nor do we.
Nobody gets it.
I don't...
Well, what I did get is I do get that she is super controlling and she liked him better.
Oh, absolutely.
When he was in prison, because she liked him literally being locked down. Like, she had him locked down when he was in prison, and 100%. That was a lot easier.
Yeah. So she is such a control freak. She really is. And she apparently has crazy thoughts going through her head, like these bipolar thoughts where one minute she like wants to believe him and, you know, she's ready to forgive. And then another minute where she's like not trusting him and, you know, ready to assault him again.
Mm-hmm. Not assault. Nobody assaulted him.
Yeah. Yeah. But she reluctantly agrees to believe him. And then she even admits that she feels stupid.
Yeah, you should, because like, why go through all that nonsense if you like weren't going to listen to what he was going to say? You know, it wasn't like, let me give you a chance to say what you have to say about this. It was just, I've already made my decision. And I didn't understand that part even last week. If you already made your decision, why are we doing this? What's this?
There's two things here. Like, one, if you've made your decision and the answer is, I don't want to be with you, I kind of feel like there has to be something else too, because, you know, you haven't given them an opportunity to explain their side. And as we saw, there really was another side to the story.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't even do that, it's like, I feel like you're deciding to end the relationship based on other things.
Yeah.
And then the other side of that would be the, okay, yes, I'm willing to give them a chance, but once again, we still have to talk it out. Neither of those scenarios is the solution to randomly fly at the person fists first. Like, I don't know what she's doing. Yeah, so she finally apologizes to him for what she says, acting crazy, but this really bothers me. And I think, especially coming from like young kids, it's like, they apologize, but they can't look you in the eye.
She did not
even look in the direction of Lamar when she was apologizing to him. She was just looking down at the ground like an ashamed child.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we're adults here.
Yeah.
You know, like, you need to look him in the eye, especially since you're the one who typically is the one controlling a situation.
And also demanding apologies. And she would not accept an apology where somebody didn't look her in the eye. I highly doubt she would.
Yeah. So she thinks that they just can't talk because they always fight. And it's like, well, uh-huh. I don't know. She seems to be the aggressor most of the time.
She is. She is. The only time that Lamar was like anything close to the aggressor was when she tried to force him into that Bible study. And he got all trolly about it. Like, that was.
He did get really trolly.
That was about it. So I don't know. That just seems like, It just seems like it would be easier to break up on everybody.
But I mean, I feel like she already is thinking that, you know, and it's not that she's looking for a reason to get out of it or to a reason to end things. But I think like that's the reason why little misunderstandings like this, like all of a sudden get you on one extreme, is because she's like already there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right.
Who do you want to talk about next?
All right. Let's just go to Clinton Tracy.
Oh, Clinton Tracy. So Tracy's been missing for how many days now?
Many days.
Oh, okay.
Weeks, yeah. I feel like, right?
Weeks.
Maybe a week. Probably about a week, I would say.
Okay. Yeah. I want to say she was missing for like 6 days. So that makes sense. So Tracy calls and, you know, already her and Clint get into it. She claims that Clint is always taking everyone else's side. And it's like, in what world? I feel like Clint is, if anything, always on her side in times where it like goes against his parents and, you know, common sense.
Right. If he was on his parents' side, she would still be in jail. Like, that's pretty simple. I don't know. And again, because, you know, she's high and an addict, is like, what would taking your side look like? Is taking your side just like, listen, she does as much dope as she wants. And everybody has to leave her alone. And I'm going to give her everything, all the dope that she wants. Is that what it is? Is that what taking her side would look like? Because I don't know what else, how else he could be farther in her side.
That is an interesting question she should ask herself. Because I would also want to know what that would look like. Like taking her side as in we'll both be druggies together. Like when I say partner in crime, I mean literally a partner in crime.
Right.
Yeah, but speaking of partners, Clint says you only have one goddess in your life. I was like confused by this because then he says at the moment she's not it. And so it's like, okay. So when you say in your life, do you mean like on a day-to-day basis, there's only one maximum?
Sounds
like it. Are you
trying
to say like in the entirety of your life, you only get one?
Yeah. Is the goddess transferable? Is this something that can be...
I know, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, it's very unclear. So I don't know why he calls her, like, well, anyone, goddess. Like, can't he just call them soulmates or girlfriends like everybody else?
Yeah, because every time he says goddess, it makes me think of salad dressing. Like, the green goddess salad dressing, you can get a Panera. And that's all I could ever think of. And it's like, what a weird thing to call someone.
I think I literally think of, like, Greek art, like a statue or a painting. It's like, okay. If that's what you're into.
Yeah, I mean, if it's transferable, then it's different than soulmate, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. It's a weird term that he uses. But it's like even step beyond, because we talked about it last time. How we hate, well, we talked about it before, but we hate the my king, my queen stuff. And this is right. Just like a level above that.
Yeah, I agree with that. But yeah, kind of going back to the why does he even have to say that there's only one? You know, isn't that kind of implied when you're talking about any partner-related terms?
Well, it's funny that you said that because you said Greek mythology, Greek things, which in which case there were many goddesses. There was not just one goddess. There were a lot of them.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so the real reason why Tracy's calling is because she left some drugs in the house and she really wants him to pick them up for her.
Right. Like, that's just...
Yeah.
What... I mean... That's just what I'm talking about. Like, you're not thinking straight to be like, yeah, go ahead. You'll bring me the drugs, right? That's what you'll do after you bail me out of jail to get me to rehab. Like, yeah.
Right. So Clint is especially mad about this because it seems that they've had some kind of agreement about drugs. He says they're like credit cards. You never leave home without them, meaning you never leave the drugs in a car, in your house, that they physically have to be on you at all times.
Right.
Apparently, that's their kind of unspoken rule. So he gets all upset. He finds the drugs exactly where Tracy says they're going to be. And he is just making this big to-do. It is so for show for the cameras to make it seem like I'm the sober one.
Yeah.
I'm the one who's, you know, the one who's trying to make these good decisions to lead a clean life. Look at me. I'm going to see these drugs, which I was like, I don't know. I'm not a drug person. So I was like, I don't even know what I'm looking at.
I don't know. I don't, could be drugs. Like, I don't know at all either.
I have no idea.
It could be rock salt. I don't know. I didn't look.
Yeah. It looked like translucent plastic bits.
Sure. Like little, like when they used to have the 3D printers with the pellets, like,
yeah,
instead of a filament. Yeah. Like that, or like, right, or like the ice melt stuff you put on your driveway. Like, kind of like that too.
I don't know about that stuff because I'm in California.
Oh, right. Jeez.
Yeah.
I had to ice your driveway. Crazy.
Right. I was like, what are you talking about here? Yeah. So whatever it is, he decides to flush it down his toilet. Baggy and all. Which I'm thinking is... The baggie's supposed to go down the toilet. I feel like that's bad.
That's bad.
For something. I don't really know what.
It's not going to be good for the plumbing. Like, if it gets stuck somewhere, it's not like toilet paper. It's like toilet paper is specifically made to dissolve. So it will, yeah, if it does, it will get run through the pipes. Plastic is not.
Right.
And so it could easily cause some issues.
Maybe he has it in the plastic bag because you heard about the drug gators.
No.
Yeah, so this police... blog, or I think it was like on Facebook or something. The police, I believe, I want to say it was in Florida, because you know Florida, was warning all their followers not to flush drugs down the toilet because the gators were getting to them. And now we had these like methed out gators because of all the drugs that were being flushed down the toilet.
Of course.
So then people started like getting hysterical and panicking about drug gators, and it ends up that the police were just kidding.
Yeah.
But then everyone thought, they was like, oh my gosh, that's the scariest thing ever, like methed out gators.
Would it be the scariest thing ever? It seems like they would just like spaz out and like fall asleep. Like they wouldn't actually chase you. They just like, yeah. Like their teeth, I mean, their teeth would all fall out, so they wouldn't be as dangerous. Like, so.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I didn't think about the teeth thing. But yeah, you don't want to think of anything that's like kind of scary. Like if you had a meth bear, that would be scary too.
Yeah, I suppose. But meth gators just sounds like a Florida animal. That just sounds like...
It's like a thing. Which is probably why everyone thought it was like a believable thing.
Uh-huh.
They're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I feel like I've seen one before. Oh yeah, meth gators. I know what that is.
Great.
Yeah, but did you see their toilet? It was disgusting.
Oh, I didn't even pay
attention. They needed a very good scrubbing.
Yeah, that's not surprising at all. Like, everything needed. He didn't even empty out the ashtray. It was like overflowing ashtray. I mean, it's like...
disgusting.
If you're going to smoke that many cigarettes a day, you got to at least get an ashtray.
Yeah. It looks like they're living in a drug den of some kind.
It really does. It really does. And this is the second one, like, you know, because even after Andre and Lamar, where once the person got out of jail, the relationship deteriorated really fast.
Yeah, definitely. So Clint calls his mom. And, you know, mom is trying to talk some sense into him. She's like, it's been downhill since they've met. And then Clint's like, no, it's been, there was some good parts, like, you know, when she first got out. And then Clint's mom brings up, okay, well, what about the part where she ditched you right after you got married, which, by the way, was only 3 days into their relationship, like on the outside.
Uh-huh.
Right. So she ditched him, steals the rental car and like goes on a drug binge. Mom was like, what about that? He was like, oh, well.
I meant before that. Yeah.
Yeah, I meant like when they're in prison. So definitely Andrea and Clint both felt like their relationship was a lot better and easier to maintain when their partner was in prison.
Yeah. And at this point, like, he's not even comfortable, like, with her around. Like, he's going to stay at his parents' house because he's afraid that she'll come back when he's asleep.
Yeah, I mean, Clint is not exactly the kind of guy who's going to get into a bar fight or anything like that.
No, certainly not.
He seems a little wimpy to me. And I think what he doesn't want to be around for is the confrontation when Tracy essentially goes crazy when she finds out Clint flushed the drugs.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Well, because he can't, there's no winning that confrontation. Like, he can't fight her. Like, and she's going to go ape shit on him.
And he can't rationalize with her either.
Yeah, it's not, neither of those things would work. That's true. But, there's a decent chance if she goes that crazy that he's legit worried that she will cause him physical harm. Like, she'll get a weapon or something and come after him.
I believe that. And then I think the other concern, too, is that, you know, I mean, Clint, as much as he's trying to do good for her, and maybe the best place for her is prison, like, he doesn't want her to go back to prison.
Mm-mm.
And so what if there's a domestic dispute and then she gets arrested again because she's high and crazy and trying to like beat him down for the drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so not a good situation.
Let's move somewhere less depressing. Who do you want to go to?
I don't think anyone is less depressed.
Now,
generally, everybody's a little depressing.
A little depressing.
I guess we can talk about Cheryl and Josh.
Okay.
Because they were less depressing in the sense that there's no drama with them because they're not together anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to see Cheryl about a month after the breakup. She's moved to Michigan with her parents.
Mm-hmm.
And she's roasting marshmallow with the kids. It seems like she has retrieved her one child.
Her kid is there. She did not abandon him in Colorado. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. And she seems happier. She refers to Josh as a tick. She just had to flick off and, you know, get him out of her system. He was really burrowed in there, you know.
It's not really work when you try to flick off a tick. They usually dig in there pretty deep. Get a little bit more than that. I don't know. It's definitely, it seems pretty clear they showed the two segments of both of them. They're both way better off without each other.
Absolutely.
And so I see that, but I totally see her getting into another identical relationship more than I see Josh getting into another identical relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she literally said she would at the end.
No, she said she'd find an inmate. She thinks Josh is one of the worst inmates to get into a relationship, and there are better inmates to get into a relationship.
That doesn't seem likely. I was like, okay, let's look at Josh here, all right? Physical whatever aside. And even then, I would say he's probably on the better end of inmates because he has all of his teeth.
Uh-huh.
You know? And I think, like, that's, like, a legit thing, especially when you've seen some of these other partners from other, like, couples that aren't on anymore. Like, a concern.
I feel like teeth and skin. Like, his skin is fine, too. It's not, like, you know, radiant skin, but it's just fine. It's, you know, not, like, pocked and scarred.
Right. And then going along with this pros is because he's not really into drugs, or at least it doesn't appear to be.
Right.
So I think the drug thing is where the teeth and the skin go wrong.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I mean, physically, he's already starting off, like, a little bit higher than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really recall like anything specifically about Josh that is worse than your typical inmate. You know, I mean, obviously he's not like got it all together. There mm-hmm. are limitations to things. He seems a bit of a mama's boy. But, you know, I wonder if things would be different if Cheryl didn't have that weird situation with Tina over Tina's boyfriend, Kenny. You know, because I really feel like that's why Tina really hated Cheryl, is because she thought that, you know, Cheryl's trying to steal right. her man.
Yeah, yes and no. But I think this is another case of Cheryl just really liking her man to be locked down. Like, she was like, she broke up with Josh, they were all talking about how it was better when you were in prison. You were in prison and I was all you had. Now you're out of prison and you're like talking to other people. Like, she just liked having him locked down and having like, he talks to me and that's it. And that's what I want. And that's what I want out of a relationship. And I don't want him to, you know, have other friends or people. Like, she literally said it was no longer all about me anymore. And so that couldn't possibly work.
Yeah, definitely. I do kind of wonder if that's what the draw for a lot of these partners are when they're in prison, is that what else do you have to do in prison but to focus on one person on the outside, mm-hmm. you know? And then it's like, because you don't have other real world complications. And I'm not saying life is super easy in prison. That's not what I'm saying at all. But, you know, you don't have your time occupied by other obligations like work, family, other friends.
Right. I mean, people in prison tend to, like, I wouldn't say obsessed, but they got to focus on like one thing. That's why so many people get so ripped when they go to prison. Like, they're like, I lifted right. weights and that's all I did. That's what I focused on and that's yep. what we did.
Yeah, definitely. So Josh, he has a plan in place for his life. He got a job doing some roofing and he got a promotion recently, so it seems like he's doing good. He's still living with his mom. He thinks he'll get his ankle monitor off soon. And so then they kind of wrap things up and say that, you know, Cheryl's loyalty is what drew him, but he felt like a trapped animal. And I was like, yep, that's absolutely fair.
Yeah, it's that kind of, and he mentioned that kind of ride or die attitude that Cheryl had is definitely,
yes,
it's definitely double-edged, because all the aggression that she brings into it to like hold everybody off from the outside, she can easily like turn inward and blame it on you.
Yeah, definitely. So that's when she says that, you know, she believes there's love out there for her, probably in a dog or in another inmate. I was like, these are your options, go with dog.
Yeah, I definitely, she's the kind of, yeah, dog. Definitely dog. That's the kind of relationship she's looking for. Look, the dog cares about yeah. me. I come home. The dog goes apeshit because I'm here. Gets yeah. upset when I'm gone. All it wants to do is just have right. me home. That sounds like her ideal relationship.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. Who else do you want to talk about next?
Let's talk about Angela and Tony, because I thought that was kind of funny.
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. So Tony and his mono face. Oh, gosh. So he has a surprise for Angela. So he blindfolds her, and these two, like, they're just got cigarettes hanging out of their mouth. They're just like walking around. I'm just like,
he's blindfolded. Why did he blindfold her all the way through the house? Like, he had set up a little picnic area in the back. He didn't have to like have her blindfolded in the front yard and like guide her through the entire house.
Think about that, but that's so true.
They could have like taken her to the kitchen and been like, okay, turn around, I'm going to blindfold you now. Like, it was crazy.
Right. And then when she was, did he make her get dressed while blindfolded so she couldn't even see?
I think he might have taken her to the room. Like, you're right, because she came in her scrubs and he put her in that like red dress. But I think he like closed all the blinds in the room and like locked her in the room. It was like, put the blindfold back on when you're done.
Okay. So she changes into the dress. They walk into the backyard and he has a nice dinner set up for her. Mm-hmm. And he says he did it all by himself. I have serious doubt about that.
He did not do that all by himself.
No, no way.
No way.
So he had set up what looked like a platform, almost like a mini dance floor, if you will, in the backyard on the grass. There is no way Tony was handy enough to construct something like that on his own.
No, especially because it had like vertical pillars to hold up like, you know, fairy lights, and he had to get the electricity from the house to the fairy lights. No way. No way.
Tony is not smart enough to do that. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm going to put that out there.
It's funny because he said, I did it all by myself, and he said it like a 3-year-old who just took a dump on the potty. Like, I did it all by myself.
So proud of himself. Yeah. But I was very doubtful of Tony's ability to do that by himself.
Yeah, that was crazy. I was like, there's no way he did this by himself.
Right. So, but it did look really nice in his defense.
It did. It looked very nice. And I will also give him credit because those stakes looked really good.
Yes, they did look really good. I was just going to say, the one thing we can say he did all by himself is he cooked the steaks.
Yeah.
And good job. Mm-hmm. They were gigantic.
They were huge.
Like, what person is eating that giant? It looked like he served her two steaks because it was like on top of each other or so big that it didn't fit on the plate.
It was like falling off the plate and there was a baked potato like kind of on it too. It was so big.
Yeah.
It's like an entire plate of steak.
All right. He did your very favorite thing. He opened up a bottle of champagne. I mean, it's a little better because they were outside.
Right.
But, yep, corks a-flying.
Just one time. One time somebody's going to do it and just be like do it like they know what they're doing.
Yeah. So she says she can tell that he loves her. And, you know, she's gaining trust in him. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where, if someone does something like this for you, do all of a sudden you think, like, they love you? But, I mean, maybe I'm just wary because I feel like he's such a skeez and a sleaze and
right.
a liar. But, I mean, but at the same time, I'm arguing with myself at this moment. Like, what else could he do to show her that he loves her? I guess this is a good start, definitely.
Right. But, I mean, there's a lot of guys, not just guys, a lot of people that kind of do this thing where they're like make up for their bad behavior with a grand gesture and then don't actually change the underlying behavior. And they're like, well, you know, I did that one thing that one time. So I love you. So I can just keep doing my own stuff, right? I don't have to help you around the house or anything because you remember the picnic, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's more where I'm coming from. And I agree with you there. Because it's like that just doing this like one nice thing doesn't negate all the terrible crappy things you've done. But then at the same time, you can't, what does that look like if you're trying to work towards being a better person?
It looks like a long time. And that's part of it. It's like almost trying to take a shortcut there.
Yeah. Well, as long as, and I mean, we don't know because this is really their only segment. We don't know if he's going to, you know, go back to, well, don't you know I love you? I love you. I love you.
Yeah.
I showed you I loved you.
Did that
remember
mean nothing?
That date night we had a month ago? Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
We don't quite know if he's there.
That's what we're about.
Yeah. So she says that she doesn't want to lose him. And he just, his mono face, he just like has no expression on his face whatsoever. I don't know if it's so smart for Angela to really put all her cards on the table like that. Because when she says stuff like that, it's like she doesn't want to lose him. It's almost like he knows that, oh, she doesn't want to lose me. That's like me having more control,
right?
You know, over this situation.
That's more power for me, right?
Yeah, I can do things because she doesn't want to lose me. So I have a little bit more freedom in all of this.
I mean, it didn't – I thought it was weird that she said that because that doesn't seem like the risk, her like losing him, like – shouldn't the risk be him losing her because he's the one who keeps messing up? Like, she's the one who's offering him grace. So it's like really weird. Like, unless she means I don't want it to get to the point where I have to break up with you and I have to let you go. But
right.
Right. I just thought it was really funny when he was like, loving you is easy. And she was like, loving you is not.
Right. Well, they have a good point. I mean, as much as Angela makes some questionable decisions, you know, I think she's a cool chica. Like, I would want to hang out with her. Maybe not be my best friend, but, you know, like, she seems like a cool enough girl.
Sure.
But Tony decides that he wants to get married as soon as possible. I was like, oh, no, this is a bad idea.
That's very bad idea. That's what I mean about the grand gesture. I did this thing. Now that I got you in a good mood, let's lock this down now. Like, let's go.
Yes. I definitely got that impression that he's trying to lock it down. And I feel like if Angela is smart about this, that she will have prenup that leaves him with absolutely nothing, especially if he cheats.
Uh-huh. Sure.
But I think if anything, like, leaves him with nothing for like the first, you know, 5 years. So they got to make it past 5 years and then maybe he gets a little something.
I can see that. I can see that. I don't know.
Yeah.
He would have to contribute as well. Like, I'm not, no matter what you do, if you're just sitting around the house not doing anything, I don't want to get you anything. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Law is weird. It's hard.
Right. Yeah. But she wants a beach wedding. So We'll see where this goes.
Where are they? Mississippi?
Are they anywhere near? Yeah. Are they anywhere near a beach? I guess if you go south.
Yeah. It would have to be Gulf. I mean, Gulf Coast. There's beaches on the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
Kind of. You have to go toward Florida. I'm trying to think. I don't know if there's any actual. I think there might be a little bit of shoreline. I mean, Nova's shoreline. I think there might be a little bit of beach on that shoreline. Because you can't go like. You can go south, but if you go to Louisiana, there's no beach. It's all like bayou. Like it doesn't.
Yeah.
But I mean, Florida, like Panhandle is not that far away. So they could do that.
Yeah. So Angela acknowledges that it may look like he's using her. And it's like, But using you would actually be the same. So I don't really know.
Yeah. I admit that it looks like it, seems like it, has the tendency to be it. But I just know that that's not what it is.
Oh, goodness. So then they have their little like commercial clip, if you will. So they go to a wedding planner and the planners ask them, you know, what's your budget? Angela says, there is no budget. And I was like, oh no, you are making some bad decisions already.
Yeah, there's a budget. Like, because there is no budget means like, I think
money is no object.
Yeah, which is like at least $100,000 if you tell that to a wedding planner, right?
Right.
Crazy.
I don't know. I don't know if she really meant that or not.
Or did she mean there is no budget in it to, as if to say, we have no money. Like there is no budget.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. I definitely got the impression by just watching it though, that it meant that like money is no object.
That's interesting. They live in a trailer.
It's like a little bit.
It's a double wide.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Is a trailer the same as a mobile home?
Yeah, I use mobile home as shorthand for trailer. Yes, it's a mobile
home. Okay.
Okay,
trailer. I think the difference between a mobile home versus a trailer, though, is a trailer legitimately has wheels on it, though, right?
Most mobile homes do, too, but they, like, set them on a foundation.
Yes, I was going to say, because it definitely looks like there's a foundation. Mm-hmm. I kind of think about when portable mobile homes, I think portable classrooms like you get in school.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I kind of think of. Yeah. Oh, goodness. So Tony actually, and she said something like this about him before. It seems like he has pretty decent taste when it comes to planning events and things. And like he has an idea of what he wants things to look like. And he has a vision. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe he needs a profession as like event planner.
Event planner. Especially since he set up that whole romantic picnic all by himself. So,
oh goodness!
Yeah, this is our event planner, the ex-con.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh! Oh goodness! All right.
All right. So that leaves us. I think we have three more left.
Yep.
All right. Let's go to Lacey, Shane, and Chuan. Chuan.
Yes, Chuan. Yeah. So Gia caught her first fish. She got a bluefish. I was like, is that a type of fish? I don't even know.
I think there is bluefish, like blue fish, not a blue fish, but a bluefish, like one word.
Oh.
That's the way
yellowtail?
Is it kind of like that? Kind of like that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
At least it's my understanding. I'm not much of a fisherman either.
Oh, yeah. All the kids are fishing with Grandpa, whose name is also coincidentally John, which does not help our situation with talking about them all.
Yeah, so I called him, for my notes the rest of the time, I called him Dad John. So we have...
Okay, that makes sense.
We have Con John and Dad John.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. So... Dad John doesn't like Con John.
No.
Calls him a piece of shit.
Yeah. I cannot get over how different Dad John seems to be from Lacey. Like.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot picture Lacey fishing as Dad John is doing with her
right.
kids.
Right. Sure, sure. So, Dad John, he didn't know about Shane's cheating. And he says, oh, we're going to have words.
Okay.
I know, because I was going to say, I'm confused by all of this. Like, I get, though, Dad John's reservations. His reservations is that he doesn't want his kids to get involved with what he refers to, Heroin Road. Heroin Head Road. Yeah, he doesn't want them to be involved in that. And I get that. That is, like, absolutely legit. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the answer, and I think, like, this is a problem with everyone kind of involved. It's like, why are these two the only options? You know, it's like everybody I feel like has, you know, this thought. Even Shane. Shane is like, well, John's eliminated from the picture, so I am the only option. You know, Dad John's like, well, you know, I don't like Con John, so Shane is the only option.
Yeah, that is weird. That is weird.
Lacey's like, okay, well, Shane cheated on me, so John is my only option. It's like, I don't understand why it has to be one or the other.
One of these two dudes.
Neither is an option, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neither of them are particular prizes to win. right? Because I'm right. surprised that Dad John is like, I think he kind of was like, all right, well, when you had been doing this John stuff and you finally went to Shane, I was like, all right, I don't like Shane, but at least you're settling down. You're making a decision. Okay, I see the path you're going down. And then next thing you know, oh, she's doubling back. Where's she going? Oh, where's she going this way? And like, he's like, I don't understand what's going on. But yeah, I would, right. I would expect a dad to be like, could you like, please date somebody that does not go to prison? That would be cool. Like just once.
Yeah. So Lacey confides in Dad John and says that, you know, she thought that if she just married Shane, that somehow that would make her feel differently about Con John. And then Dad John is like, not if you're hanging around that trash can. I was like, oh my gosh, Dad John does not like Con John at all.
At all. Mm-mm. I feel like, yeah, I feel like Dad John has a complicated relationship with addicts. Maybe, you know, influencing his judgment of Con John.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. So Dad John thinks that Lacey is not taking care of the kids. And so then Lacey like ends things by saying, hey, Dad, don't tell anything about John to Shane.
Which I don't know. It is really, it's not really his place to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'm falling there. It's not that's I'm okay with that. I think Shane should know, but I think Lacey should tell Shane. Like it isn't his place.
Yeah, I absolutely think so too.
It is not his place to insert himself there, especially when she came to like confide in him and, you know, get his advice. But you skipped my favorite line because that was the line where Lacey was like, I don't know, it's just like my head and my heart are in two different places. And then Dad John was like, well, then you better get your head out of your ass.
That's true. That was good. So he at first has, seems like intentions to tell Shane about the whole John situation.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's tricky because I feel like Shane just comes across all the time as so juvenile, you know?
He does. Well, I mean, he is. He's young.
Yeah, he is.
He's like 22.
He is, but he even seems like a young 22. Like, he's putting together the trampoline, and he just seems like a teenager.
Oh, it makes sense if you think about it. Like, I think most of these people, you know, they've left for jail, and it's almost like they're frozen in that age that they go to jail. So
yeah.
If Shane was in jail at like 18,
mm-hmm.
that seems like a typical like high school senior.
You right.
know, his behavior seems like a typical high school senior to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it wasn't like Dad John was like, well, I decided not to tell him because, you know, it's Lacey. Like my argument that it was, you know, Lacey's place to tell him, Lacey's, you know, mm-hmm. information. But he was just like, oh, he just seemed happy, and I didn't want to tell him his dog died. Poor kid.
Yeah. So, they're setting up a trampoline, and so they have every opportunity to, Shane and Dad John, have every opportunity to kind of share knowledge,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, they don't.
They don't.
Oh, except for Dad John does confront Shane about the cheating.
Right. And it wasn't much of a talking to. The way he's like, oh, I'm going to talk to him about that.
No, I agree. I was like, he kind of let him off very easily.
Very
easily.
He was
like, this was just a one-time thing, right? Wink, wink.
Right.
Shane's like, yes, it was. Okay, then we're good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't exactly say that, but that's kind of how it seemed to go down.
Yeah, he was like, he just fed him, just tell me this and it'll be okay. Right? Tell me this. Now we're good. It was pretty weak. But what was Lacey doing while they were putting together the trampoline?
Talking to Con John.
Mm-hmm. Tell him to take his shirt off. Oh, right. And that's where we left them.
Just to wrap them up, Lacey thinks that Shane is being phony. And he has nowhere else to go. So he's trying to get in good with Dad John. So that way he has an ally. And I don't think she's wrong.
No. I think he's trying to get in good with everybody, though. I think he's just like, better be on my best behavior. Like, let's go. Like, I don't think he's sophisticated enough to be like, well, let me play these two people off each other. He just like... Like a kid when you catch him doing something wrong, and that's the best time to ask him to do chores, because they will do whatever the hell you want them to. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, I'll take out the trash. Sure, okay. Like, I feel like that's where he's at.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, who do we have left? Michael and Sarah, and then Brittany and Marcelino?
Yeah, let's do Michael and Sarah first.
Okay. So, it looked like Michael stormed off, but... I don't know. They kind of rewinded a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really look like he stormed off right away.
Yeah, yeah. So it was weird editing, which is kind of a theme, I feel like, in this segment, the weird editing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the therapist says, you know, she basically is trying to reiterate what Sarah's saying because it doesn't seem like Michael is really getting it. Mm-hmm. But Sarah says, you know, that she had filed for temporary custody and Michael thinks she's trying to take the kids away. And I mean, that isn't what Sarah exactly said, even though I can understand why Michael thinks that.
Right.
Because anytime you're getting the law involved, you know, it's because you're trying to make a change. And
yes.
So I can understand why he's freaked out. So the therapist says it's all in the papers and Michael has no idea and says, you know, I never got any papers. And, you know, Sarah, why didn't you tell me? And so he's basically blaming her for being a nomad and not being in one place to get served. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and what bothered me was like the temporary, you know, emergency custody thing only had to happen because they couldn't actually do a real custody case because he won't sign the papers.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's
the divorce papers.
The divorce papers. About. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's the instance of him being strategic has come back to, you know, bite him because his strategic-y is.
Oh, goodness.
Is the reason she had to do it in the first place.
Wow. Yeah. So Sarah feels guilty that he feels bad, but she says the reason why she did what she did was because in the end, what she's the most concerned about is that he's going to somehow take the kids out of state. Mm-hmm. And she does not want that to happen.
Right. Right. Which is something that once you have a divorce, like that automatically becomes like a thing. But
right.
Because you don't have the divorce, she had to do the temporary emergency custody thing.
Yeah. So then they kind of bring up the fact that he's there with Maria and Sarah sarcastically says, you know, oh, I'm so happy that you found a soulmate. Okay. And it's like, at least on the one hand, she didn't go crazy like she went the other episodes ago where she found out about Maria
yeah.
in the first place.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, it's like, you're not helping your case for sounding a little less bitter if you're saying it sarcastically like that.
Yeah. Yeah, she definitely came across as super bitter about Maria being
yeah.
there. And not, like I said, Maria like being around the children. She was like, she's...
Right.
It was more to it than that.
Yeah. So Michael, the reason why he's been dragging his feet, or so he says, is that, you know, if he's still married to her, he can still see the girls. But it's like, you don't see them anyway.
Right.
I don't really understand
what point is.
What you think you're gaining.
And yeah. like... Without a court order, like it takes a court order to keep no visitation, no seeing the children for the father. That's a huge step from the courts. That's not something that like, oh, you're divorced. She doesn't ever have to let you see the kids anymore. That's not the way it works at all.
Yeah. So then he goes into this reasoning / logic that we had kind of touched upon, I think, 2 episodes ago that I get so annoyed with because it's like, wow, he just doesn't get it. So Michael thinks that Sarah knows he's a good father. So he's like, I'm a good father. Sarah even knows it. And he thinks that because otherwise, why would she want to try keep including me into their lives? So the fact that, you know, she keeps calling me, keeps on texting me, keeps on like wanting me to call my kids, she must know I'm a good father. It's like, no. That just doesn't mean that at all.
It doesn't mean that at all. Yeah. It's because you are the father. She cannot change that. And she wants you
right.
to be a good father. That's why she keeps begging you to be around.
Yes. So he thinks that she just can't let go. And then this really annoys me. But at the same time, he's not wrong. Like he says, deep down, if I wanted to get back with Sarah, I could. And I feel like he's not completely wrong, you know, and like we've kind of been going back and forth saying this the last few episodes. And I really feel like that's the reason why he treats her like shit.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, the result is the same in his mind. If he ever changes his mind, he can get back together again with her, whether he treats her really well or treats her like shit. So what's going to motivate him to treat her really well if it's a more inconvenience for his life and if it also means that these other women are going to be suspicious because he's being nice to her.
Right, right. Yeah, and it clears it easier with the other women because he can just He could be like, look, there's nothing with me. I treat her like shit. Look at how I treat her. Clearly, there's no feelings there.
Yeah, so Sarah says that she goes to therapy to figure out how to handle Michael being in her life, you know, because she doesn't have the choice. And so then she says, I am not the enemy. And it did really make me think about this. Like, at what point did Michael start truly hating Sarah? Like, I can't even think of, like, and why?
I don't think he does. I think there's part of him that wouldn't mind getting back together with Sarah. And he's just like, yeah. Because he starts talking about this, like, oh, there's just this magnetic bond, this magnet, we can never just cut it off. Like, there's still a part of him that's into her. And I think part of the reason he goes overboard and treating her like shit is because he has to, like, convince himself that's what it's going to take. Convince the other women that he's over her. I don't know that he is either.
Yeah, I'm confused why he treats her so shitty like that. I mean, that's one theory, that he's just trying to show every party involved that, you know, he's over her. And maybe treating her like shit is how you show that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing too is Michael is definitely the kind of person that projects. And so I feel like when he keeps insisting and keeps saying, Sarah would want to get back to me in a second. If I said, let's get back together, she would do it immediately. Like, I definitely see more than a hint of projection in that.
Yeah. So then Sarah, like, starts, you could just tell in her interview, she's just getting soft. Mm-hmm. She says that, you know, they were best friends at some point. And then he's talking about the force that keeps them together. So he decides to make plans to see the girls alone. And, you know, he's like, oh, don't worry about, like, Maria. Like, I'll figure it out. Like, I'll smooth it over and, you know, pretty much lie to her.
Yeah.
To make things okay.
Right. Well, because he is 100% convinced Maria, 100% convinced Maria that Sarah is no threat at all. And he has no feelings for her at all. And there's no chance he would ever want anything with Sarah.
Yeah. Aviana's hair looks so cute. I really liked her little, there aren't braids. They were just like little ponytails, but like in a pattern.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Michael goes over to hang out with Aviana and Sarah. And Aviana asks him to spend the night. And Michael says yes. So now he has to explain where he is to Maria over the phone.
Yeah, okay, though. But didn't, correct me if I'm wrong, he lied to Maria, right? He said Sarah wasn't going to be there. Like, he said Sarah's going out and I'm staying with the girls.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what he said. So he calls Maria to clear it up, but then says, you know, I have a chance to stick around because Sarah's leaving. So is that cool? And Maria was like, oh, yeah. Then you get Maria by herself in an impromptu interview. Maria says she trusts Michael because he's always been honest with her. And told her things he hasn't had to. And it's kind of like, all right, like, I don't know, but pathological liar, do you not know that he's been lying to everyone else?
Right. I don't get that mindset. As I see it all the time, is like, you know the person is a liar. You know they're lying to everybody else, but you truly believe that they're telling you the truth right now. I was like, I don't understand where that trust comes from.
Above everybody else. Yes, I don't really understand where it's coming from either. But, you know, the thing with Maria, she seems to think she's real special, you know, compared to everybody else, compared to Sarah, compared to Megan, she's special.
I don't know what she thinks makes her special. I don't know. I don't know. It seems like we'll see more of this next week, because it looks like next week we will get the confrontation between Maria and Sarah. So excited for that.
So in the meantime, Aviana finally goes to sleep. Sarah kind of lays down some rules for Michael. You know, she says that, you know, if you want to be a good dad, you just need to answer the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I promise it won't be me on the phone. It will be Aviana, but you need to answer it. You need to be present. And then as soon as Aviana's asleep, she's like, I'm making myself a drink. You want one too?
Wow. That was I want a drink.
Yeah.
Yep. Which, I don't see Mike as a guy who turns down any drink at all, ever, to be honest.
I can't imagine this ending very well for Sarah, mostly.
This is the part that I was suspicious about the editing. At the part where we had, like, she was making a drink and it was a talking head. And I call bad edit on this.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if Sarah did, the bad edit is, it ends on her being like, because that's my man, talking about Michael, Sarah.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm like, no. Like, I'm not saying that she 100% does not have feelings for Michael. I'm saying she would not say that to the camera.
Hmm. Yeah, I can't see her doing that either, because that just seems, I don't know, you've been talking about how he's terrible for you. You wouldn't all of a sudden refer to him as your man, especially if it's one-sided.
Exactly. Like it didn't comport with everything she's said in the interviews up to this point, to all of a sudden just on a dime switch and be like, because that's my man. Like,
Yeah, that definitely seems very unlikely that she would say that. That's weird.
All right.
We have Brittany and Marcelino. Can you believe they named the dog Doodle? It's a very weird dog name.
I had a cat once that we like nicknamed Doodle. But it wasn't the cat's like real name. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a cute name. It just seems like an odd name.
Yeah. It does.
Doodle the dog.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, look at the little doodle. Like, it makes sense as like, I don't know. I buy it as a nickname because I use it as a nickname, but like as an official name.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So Gio says that daddy's mad at Doodle. So this kind of goes back to the fact that Marcelino was not about this dog. And it just seems like, he's grumpy in general right now.
Uh-huh. I mean, well, that's, you tend to be grumpy when you're losing mortgage payments.
Right.
And you don't know how you're going to get them back. Right. So very stressed.
Yep. So we start off with James, the cousin that Marcelino said he was playing poker with, calls to ask where Marcelino is.
This is a production troll, right? Come on.
Yes, I think so too. That's really specific.
Yeah, it's specific for James to call Brittany's cell phone. Like,
yeah. Yeah, like you, honestly, I think most people, like unless you had plans to do something specifically, like you're like, oh, you just assume that person's busy and like let it go. Okay, well, just call them another day.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Or text them, be like, give me a call when you get a chance. Like,
yeah, you wouldn't be like, okay, let's call in the emergency contact number because something must be wrong. And it's not even like he said that, you know?
No, he's just like, oh, is Marcelino around? It's like, that was what?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Production troll.
Right. Yeah, so then she calls Marcelino a bunch of times.
Yep, she spam calls him.
And she says that she says that she usually trusts him because, you know, he's shown her that he's trustworthy and dependable. And that's actually really true. He's probably one of the more stable couples on this.
Yeah.
And now she's worried and wants to know where he is.
Yeah, yeah. And then we switch to fake. The one they were trying to lead us to. Were they trying to get us to think she was a prostitute? Or, like, because we talked about that last time. They were like, hiding who it is. It's like, oh, you want a drink? Oh, it's going to be 200. Like, that kind of stuff.
I think, like, what we had talked about on the last episode was that I said it seemed like some kind of business situation.
Yeah.
It seemed like transactional, you know? And then we had kind of talked about, you know, transactional like a prostitute. And I said, oh, I don't really think so.
Right. Yeah.
But I think our speculation was that it was some kind of like underground poker situation, like, you know,
right,
non-regulated in any way.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it turns out it was even less sketchy than that. He was seeing a coach.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a pro poker coach and player. AJ is her name.
Uh-huh.
I actually really liked AJ because she just straight up told him, you suck.
You suck. He's like, well, I don't know, but I suck. And she was like, you're here, right?
You're like, no, you do. You suck.
Right. Well, that's a super common thing. It's one of the things you have to get. And I get this because it's a gambler's mindset. They're like, I don't suck. I'm just having a, going through a down cycle. And he'd be like, no, you suck.
Right.
You suck. Like, you got to change what you're doing.
I definitely think she gave him a very good reality check.
Yes.
You know, like, if you have these kinds of hands, like, X number of days, you know, it's like, it means you suck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you need to get better. And he's finally admitting that he needs help. But he's also embarrassed about losing. So this is why he's lied to Brittany about where he is.
Right. So I kind of got the impression that she wasn't even saying, like, you know, your hands are bad, because poker, you get the hands you get, right? You can only play the cards you're dealt. So it's not even like about playing or not playing the game. It's about playing the bets. And so I think the idea was he is doing what a lot of, you know, inexperienced and amateur gamblers do, is you chase a big jackpot and chase the big pots and you think you can outdo the numbers. And like, I think a lot of the pro players just go in and they grind it out, and those small pots where everybody folds, somehow or other, they end up with it. And they, you know, win, you know, $10, $20 pots over and over and over and over again. And they never hit that $10,000 pot, but they end up ahead because they're grinding out these little wins. And it's like, you can't play for the big wins. That's not how a pro can play.
Sure. So, you know, Marcelino says that all poker players lie. And then AJ is like, yeah. She also says that he needs to own up to his mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, I thought she gave a lot of really sound advice that don't just apply to like poker context. It like applies to everything. She said that he's just trying to pat himself on the back, and then he kind of admits, and like she made him realize that he lies to make himself feel better to himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he lies to himself. That's the person he lies to the most is himself.
Right. But then he has to say those lies to people like his family and Brit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the reason why he hasn't told Brittany, like, the real financial situation of all of that. So I think it was good that he visited this person. I mean, if anything, to kind of, like, get a reality check of the gambling that he's doing.
Right.
You know, like, the risk he's taking, the money he's losing. Because I definitely felt like she addressed all of that.
Yeah, because it seems like the money that he's losing, I mean, he considers gambling to be his profession, but he's not being professional about it, right? He's being like a hobbyist, which is fine if you're a hobbyist, but you're not never going to make a living at it. You're going to support your family not being professional about it and not being serious about it and not being honest to yourself about it.
Right, definitely. All right. So I think that's all of our couples for this
week. Yeah, I think that's everybody. Mm-hmm. All right. So who was your student of the week?
I actually had my student of the week as being Marcelino. And I think it does take someone to be in a place where they are willing to receive help to really grow. And I really appreciated that, you know, this is something that was shameful for him. He was embarrassed about it, but he did reach out to a professional and try to get help. And I think that, you know, it doesn't mean he's going to be a successful poker player overnight. But it shows that he's wanting to learn and that he's willing to change for the better.
Sure. Sure. Mm-hmm. So related, mine was AJ, the poker coach, because she was, I liked it. It was really refreshing to see somebody who like had a clear-eyed view of a situation, and like all the situations,
yes.
Like somebody that you don't see in this show is somebody who has their shit together, because that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's not great TV. But somebody who had their shit together and was like, you know, straight shooting, no bullshit about it, and not like a lot of, well, him and Haw, do you think, maybe, and like, you know. So I really liked it. Just straight shooter, AJ the poker coach. Really, it was AJ the life coach. She didn't even say anything about his poker. It was like life coaching.
I kind of almost wonder a little bit, like, she probably gets a lot of people that think exactly like Marcelino.
Oh, absolutely.
So I really thought she was spot on. It's probably because she's like, oh, yeah, get in line. There's like 100 other dudes that are like in the same boat right now.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
All right, so who was your dunce?
My dunce was Sarah. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that it's just bad editing, but I don't like how it seems like she has a soft spot for Michael that would lend to making terrible life decisions, and I'm a little worried for her.
Right. Okay. Okay. That makes sense. My dunce was Tracy, just because, like,
yeah,
it's just a huge mess. And, you know, the way she berated Clint, who is on her side more than anyone else on the planet, for not being on her side. And then was just like, if you don't give me the drugs, I hate you. Then, yeah, that's, and I know it's addiction, but yeah, altogether, that just makes her my dunce.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. What about your life lesson?
Okay. So this came up a lot, is a lot of people kind of thought, get to the point where logically it makes sense to no longer be with this person, but their heart keeps them, right? So Cheryl and Josh were like this, and Andrea and Lamar are like this, and Clint and Tracy are like this, right? There's a common theme. And I want to say, whenever you have that, like, my head thinks one thing and my heart thinks the other thing, your head is right like 95% of the time. Like, you really should just go with your head.
Yeah, right. So mine was from Lacey and John and Shane. Getting back at someone, you know, with someone else when real feelings are involved is not the way to go. You know, it's like, I feel like that's her motivation for trying to pursue things with John, is she's just trying to get back at Shane because Shane cheated on her.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that she has real feelings for John and she has real feelings for Shane.
Right.
So she really needs to let go of one relationship before you start with the next one, because none of them is also an option, like we talked about.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be one or the other.
Plus, when you're doing that, when you're just, you know, using John to get back at Shane, that's incredibly painful and terrible to John. Like,
yes.
And
definitely.
So, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. All right. So, as far as we know, this is just, this train keeps going, right?
Yeah. I haven't seen anything about when we're going to stop. We think we get somewhere. I don't know. It hasn't been that many episodes, but towards an ending, because, like, you know, Cheryl and Josh are done. I wouldn't expect to see them anymore this season.
Right. I mean, I think we're definitely to look forward to. We have the Maria-Sarah showdown.
Uh-huh.
And then I think at some point Shane is going to probably figure things out with John.
True.
Well, figure out what's happening with John. I don't think he's going to actually figure out, you know, a resolution or anything.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm assuming we're going to see a Tony and Angela wedding of some kind.
Oh, yeah, true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then Brittany still has her baby.
Right, oh, yeah.
So she's pregnant.
I forgot. I had totally forgot about that. That was another complication for that dog. How are you going to be giving birth in a couple months and be like, this is the time to bring the new dog in?
Oh, I know, right? I mean, that's what Marcelino even said. He was like, we have a baby on the way. And then Tracy has her court appearance.
Yep.
So
yep, and I guess, I mean, Andrew and Lamar have to figure something out. I imagine that's gonna, right. they're gonna end up divorced, right? That's got to be where that's going.
I don't know. Oh, someone in one of our reviews asked us if we could do more with probably the social media aspect. And this is an interesting group because most of them are fairly quiet on social media, unlike our 90 Day Fiancé group.
Uh-huh.
So there really isn't a whole lot out there. And I can't recall seeing anything recently from any of these people. I know Cheryl and Josh did have an epic meltdown. I believe it was over Facebook when they first broke up. But
oh, okay.
Yeah. Right, but I mean, if anything comes up, we'll certainly mention it, but you know, they're fairly inactive, I would say.
Well, geez, you think, I don't know, they got some, maybe it's because of the prison thing. Like, they just got so used to, you know, I've got people coming out of prison, they're not really social mediaing it up in prison. And you kind of had the thing with Shane, like, you kind of get locked into their pre-prison selves. And if you take, like, you know, 4, 5, 6 years and don't ever have any social media, you don't feel the burgeoning need to do it as soon as you get out, even if you are famous.
Right. Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But we'll say something if we hear anything.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
Okay. We'll see everybody next week then.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.